show, Phil Hendrick.
Hold on for a minute, will you?
Well, I gotta find out about this, Phil. This is important.
Hold on for a minute, will you? Because we're just coming on the air right now.
Well, did you say it on the air, did you?
You know what, David? I'm going to put you on hold until I get my show underway here, okay?
I got to know, Phil. Did you say...
All right. Welcome to the show, folks. Hi. You feeling good, bud?
I said I got to go tell him.
You know something? We weren't even on the air. Anyway, Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. We're on Phil TV and HD on philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and find out what it are all about. That's right, a backstage pass allows you to see our nightly video, our streaming video of the show, as well as listen to thousands of hours of archives. Close to 5,000 hours of archived radio is there at philhendryshow.com. And it's not just any kind of a radio show. It's a revolutionary radio show. It's a radio show of spoken word entertainment, but much, much more than that. Now, when we were in the pre-show here, and Margaret, you heard it.
Well, I did, but I've got to go with Bud on that, only because I don't know what... It was very strong.
All right, so, fine, go ahead, put David on the line. All right, let's get this over with. But I want to explain it before... Hold on, don't put him on the line yet. First of all...
Well, which is he, want to put on or not?
Hold on. First of all, I was talking to Dan Northcraft, my close personal friend, who also is our technical director, and I was showing... on Phil TV, moments of the second Ali Liston fight. I just had it on because we found a website that has it. Okay. And we were watching Ali working Liston in this fight. And I said to Dan, I said, you know, a lot of people didn't like Muhammad Ali winning. A lot of white people didn't like it because he was known in those days, what they used to say, was an uppity N-word. And I used the N-word, and Bud all of a sudden, I'm going to tell David.
I got it. Report it to him. Because of the N-word aspect to it.
David?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
So you did this during your pre-show?
Yes.
Well, Bud, you said to me that it was on the air.
It was on a air, not on a radio air. Because I don't even know how does that work?
What do you mean, how does that work? Did he say this on the air or didn't he?
He said it on a radio, on a video.
That's not on the air. That's on that video cast.
Right.
Well,
I think that what Phil said, David, I was here. David, it's Margaret.
Yes, Mark.
I heard what Phil said. I understand he was trying to illustrate to Dan Northcraft what Muhammad Ali's image was in those days. But hearing Phil use the N-word and looking at him, now you understand that Phil has a beard. Phil has that balding, longish hair look. That a lot of, excuse me for saying this, Phil, a lot of these bikers and these right-wing sort of meth addicts have.
I understand.
What are you saying? Hold on, Phil. And so hearing that word come out of the mouth of someone that looks like he's coming out of a trailer with no shirt on, you know.
I understand. And so, Phil, this is what I'm talking about. You got the wrong look. For a guy to use that word.
Wait. Hold on for just a minute. First of all, we're talking about radio. Okay? Secondly...
No, Phil, hold on. We are not talking about radio. We're talking about the Phil TV, videocast TV, whatever you call this thing.
Fine, but that's to my subscribers. That's not to the general public. That's not just being broadcast over the FCC-regulated airwaves. My videocast is a closed-circuit videocast that goes only to my subscribers during the pre-show, during the show as well, but I don't do anything on the air that is in violation of anything like that. And what are you talking about? I've got the look of some meth addict.
Well, Phil, I wanted to tell you, that's something that troubles me. Because if people have seen you, and I know a lot of people have... Especially the ones that watch this video TV. What do you call it? Call it Phil Video?
Phil TV.
Well, what does that mean?
Hey, David, that's what I call it, okay? It's a video cast.
All right, well, I mean, with people that see that, they see a guy with a beard, and they see you look like, you do, you look like one of these militia types. I know that you're not, and I know that you're a very liberal guy in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to this, but you look like one of these guys that, you know, remember the movie you were showing me, the Clint Eastwood? You remember you always using the line, hunting,
snorting meth off a hunting knife. I know the line.
Right. And
that's a movie that was a movie, yeah.
Right. But I mean, snorting meth off a hunting knife takes on a whole new meaning when I look at you. And it brings to mind, of course, Ted Bell's famous quote of the Bible, which is, I'd rather poke my eye out with a stick from a tree than look at you. Now the...
All right, I've hung up. If he calls back, I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah, you call... You...
Slow down, bud, slow down.
He hung up on Mr. Hall.
I hung up on Mr. Hall?
He's a little bit nervous now. You got to slow down, man.
Yeah, you hung up.
Dave, I'm going to ask you something. Hold on for a minute, bud.
Did you call him David?
No, I almost... Bud, hold on. Just everybody shut up. I want to talk to Bud here for a second.
I don't like being told to shut up.
I'm sorry, Margaret. Would you mind for a moment if I talk to Bud?
That's better. Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm all out of manners here tonight. When I got people going behind my back and calling the boss and saying Phil did this, Phil did that, and Phil did something else. Now, I'm going to tell you this, bud, and this is something that you have to believe. If you want to call Mr. Hall, you can do that. But you got to tell me first. You understand?
Well, I thought I would never have done it had it not have been about an N-word.
Wait. I don't even give a damn if it's about the N-word. And that reason that he gave... You understand that's not valid.
I don't know. He said you look like a guy that'd be on Cops with no shirt and saying sugar babe.
What?
Let me do it, bud.
That's what he said.
He said that David said you look like the kind of guy that regularly gets loaded into the back of a radio car on Cops using phrases like sugar babe, get my bail, and things like that.
Well, if David's got a problem with the way I look...
No, he didn't have a problem with the way you look. He doesn't, but he just thinks there's going to be prejudice about it. If you say an N-word or you talk about Mexican food or anything, you look like you're loaded in.
Yeah, I know I'm black, and I know you're not a racist. You know, I'd walk down the street with you, Phil, anywhere, but I know that people think, when they look at you, they think about, the Mystic Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, you know.
So I look like a Klansman, is that it?
Yes, in a lot of ways, yeah. I told you to get the haircut.
What is a Klansman supposed to look like?
The dumb ones or smart ones?
What do you mean the dumb ones or the smart ones? All right, let's start with the dumb ones.
You?
Oh, great. And what's a smart Klans guy look like?
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper? Well, there you go. Hey, Anderson, wherever you are, and I think you're on TV right now, you and I, man, we could be members of the Klan. I'd be in charge of the dumb chapter. You in charge of the smart Klan guy looks like Anderson Cooper. That's a good one. In fact, it's probably pretty accurate.
I think so.
All right. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and a very happy Thanksgiving Day Eve. Huh?
Yeah!
I know you guys are going to... That's fine, Robert.
Yeah.
That's fine, Robert.
Judge said fine.
I know, but I'm just happy it's going to be Thanksgiving.
Well, you get to have Thanksgiving at your Aunt Mavis's house, where she's going to be making some really good stuff. Are we going to get her on the air later?
Yeah, she's going to come on and tell you about, I think she's going to tell you about that marshmallow thing she made.
The marshmallow thing, the dessert?
Is that the one with a potatoes in it?
Well, sweet potato, yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. I'm hoping it's not the regular one.
Oh, my God. Sweet potato pie is wonderful. I just love it. It's so southern, and it's so... It's very organic, too, and cornbread. You know, we went and saw the Steels in Chicago. Do you know the Steels, Phil?
The singing group?
Yes.
I'm familiar with them, yeah.
You know, Javetta Steele, she sang that beautiful... Oh, God. I love that song. And for those of you listening, do you know the song from Baghdad Cafe? You know that song?
Which one is that?
What was that?
What do you mean, which one is that? What song is there from Baghdad Cafe that goes, ah? Which one is it?
Calling You?
I'm Calling You. Javetta Steele sings that like an angel. Now, I do a version of that, which I will do a little bit later, but you've got to hear my version, and then you'll hear when you give it that artistic twist.
The thing of it is, Margaret, with your artistic twists... All right, I'm sorry.
Don't you ever. My interpretation...
No, there, it's lovely.
Here's what... Javetta will do this. A desert rose. You know how it goes. And then she goes, ah! I don't know the words, but it goes, ah.
She goes, ah, I'm calling you.
She doesn't go, ah, I'm calling you. She says, ah.
I know she doesn't do that, but she's singing, I'm calling you.
Oh, okay, so those are the lyrics. Yeah.
That's the song. So later on, we'll hear Margaret sing, I'm calling you.
Not the way Jovetta Steele does it. I won't say it's better, but it is. It's just a better interpretation, that's all.
All right, so what about the Steels?
Anyway, the Steels would do their Christmas show, and they would talk about cornbread, and they would talk about all of those wonderfully rural and, yes, black things about Christmas.
And what? Why are you...
why are you ashamed? I was going to say the same thing. Why are you ashamed of that?
I'm not ashamed of anything, Robert.
Then why'd you go, black? Why'd you do that?
Because I don't want any of Phil's friends to get upset.
Oh, there you go. She doesn't want my chapter of the Ku Klux Klan to get upset.
Yeah, you don't want the militia that Mr. Henry is a part of.
All right, let's just move on. Phil Henry's show, we have Raj Fanin coming on to talk with us about the wind down of Twinkie and Hostess and all that other stuff. And we'll continue with our discussion of Thanksgiving and the food. We'll have Mavis Leonard later on with maybe one or two of her recipes and more discussions along those lines. Some heavy news stuff, heaviosity, that kind of thing, but not too heavy. You know what I'm saying? We'll start heavy and work light, maybe start light and work heavy. I don't know. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
My God.
He's our bitch.
What was that?
The Phil Henry Show.
Well, he does.
Robert, you understand I'm not a racist. I didn't mean anything by the thing.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the News Talk and Entertainment Show, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's really discounting your show.
I want to get to it, okay? Blah, 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 blah. So, and also our podcast, the Phil Henry Podcast, for those of you who are not backstage pass holders and you want to know what it's all about, in our archives especially, check out our podcast, which is... available on iTunes. It's also available through our website, philhenryshow.com. Just hit the podcast banner. And we're like top 30 now on the iTunes comedy charts. So we're going great guns. We're going to hit 200,000 downloads. It's all a beautiful thing. All right,
childish.
Turn that off, please, bud. What are you doing with that?
Just an archive.
That was part of our archive. Yeah, okay. So that was yesterday's podcast is what that was. Bringing on the air right now, we have with us Raj Fanin from Sherman Oaks. I was going to say, what was I going to say, El Segundo or something? Raj is with us. Raj is a businessman in the San Fernando Valley. He is an Egyptian citizen, but living here and working for a temporary period of time in the United States. And we've had Raj on the program from time to time to talk about not only the Middle East, and not just business, international business, but also his view of America, Americans, American culture. Raj, how are you?
Hello, Phil.
And you got your son there?
Yeah, we have. Daughter's here, and I said to him, if he wants to be on the Phil Henry Show, he said yes. So it's a family affair tonight.
Good, good. Raj, before we get going, what is your actual status here in the United States?
I have my work permit with a brother of mine has started the environmental science, environmental service in the San Fernando Valley, you know, and my two brothers who are located in America, here in the United States in California, you know, back in 2003, and I came here myself in 2005. As far as status, we work visa, work permit, not a green card, but because I have an application for American citizenship, if I can dual citizenship, you know.
So you're applying to be an American citizen if it's dual citizenship with Egypt?
Yes, that's exactly right. And because I don't think, you know, I would ever want to give up the citizenship, you know, of my home country, you know. This for me is very important. But to be American citizen would afford me a certain, I think, opportunities.
Do you feel as if you are an American? Do you want to, in terms of being an American, you know, when we talk about being an American, there's a lot that goes with that. It means feeling a part of the country, feeling like you're a part of its past and its future. And
No, I don't. I know what you mean. And I've talked to a lot of people, you know, who are going to. To them, that is what is the most important. But I don't think I have quite as, you know, it's that's a bit of a sort of a, what do you call it, can they be seen? My son Doris is a fairy tale, or a, you know what I mean?
So you think that's kind of a fairy tale?
No, not a fairy tale. For an immigrant like myself, American, to me, Phil, is you. You are American. People are born in America. Maybe some people from Europe, but I don't know. But for me, an immigrant to America, I am never going to be American like you're American. Nor I don't think I can, you know. And I don't think that Americans want me to be American. I think they want me to be an Egyptian man, you know.
Well, now, that's a very interesting statement. Why do you say that?
Well, because of the way that they will talk to you. If you say anything bad, they will say, why don't you go back to Egypt? If you say, you know, anything about the country, you know. And I'm not saying I don't have freedom of speech. I think I have freedom of speech, sure, but, you know, it's not the same.
In other words, it's like you have freedom of speech, but you're going to get called out on it more often, say, than I would.
Yeah, sure. And I just think that's the nature of, to use an American phrase, you know, the nature of the beast. The nature of the beast is what was saying to me.
All right. Well, to that end, you're on the show tonight to talk about Hostess. And you've been on this program before, and you've made the statement that to you, the most perfect statement about Americans is our love affair with fast food.
I don't know that I said exactly that.
Well, you said something along the lines of Americans are more, we know more about fast food than we know about anything else.
Well, I think it's sometimes, yeah, you know, my son Todd says often, you know.
We should let people know, I don't mean to interrupt you, not to interrupt you, Raj. Your son Todd is how old?
My son is 9 years old.
He's nine, he was born here.
Yes.
And he was born here in the United States.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And yet he doesn't speak English.
He doesn't speak English at home. He speaks Arabic at home. That's his choice. It's not that I didn't say anything to him.
By the way, if you've only been here since 2005, how is it that your son...
Well, my wife was here. My wife was here...
Is your wife American-born?
No. My wife is Egyptian-born. But I came on business in 1999 and met my wife. And we are, you know, live together, we move in together. And then I said, this is not for me, I can't stand it anymore. And I left, and that's I find that she is pregnant. And my son was born, and I'm not with my son. This caused me pain in my, bunch of pain, you know.
Right.
And so I came back to America.
Okay, so getting back to what we're talking about.
Why did you ask me that?
Because the math didn't work out.
What? Todd wants to know, why did you ask me that?
Because the math didn't work out. Tell your son he's 9 years old. You've only been here since 2005.
He's not at all. He should know. My son thinks there's something fishy. He thinks you're trying to... No, Todd. It's all right, Phil. My son is he's protective of me, you know.
All right, well, that's fine. So anyway, Hostess judge approves wind down of Twinkie Maker. And you wrote a blog piece today that I read, and essentially what you said, Raj, was the following thing. Americans know more about the Hostess deal. They know more about the wind down of Hostess, the buying of Hostess's assets, the bankruptcy of Hostess. They know more about that one story than they do about the combined headlines of the last 10 years. And I want to ask you about that when we come back.
Yeah, sure. It's
hold on, okay?
Because of what they said, you know. But I think...
Hold on for just a second, Raj. We'll be right back with Raj Fanane. And what does he mean by that? We know more about the Hostess Twinkie story than we do about any and all news stories of the last 10 years. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, you didn't say that.
You
said Bella. What?
Bella.
You brat.
Oh.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, welcome back. Phil Hendry Show. Raj Fanane on the line with me with his son, Todd. We have Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard in the studio here as we talk about the news story of news stories. Raj, you say that this is the one that is, you know, has interested Americans more often than not.
Yeah, my son, Todd, what are you? My son, Todd, was not... He said you are showing a clip of a prize fight that a man at the Star of David, and he wished to know who that man is, for to know what is your intention for my son Todd.
It's about a woman.
My son says he's not angry, but he wishes to know.
Your son Todd wants to know what?
About the woman.
And another one.
My son says that he was looking at the video cast of your show, and you show a fighter, a prize fighter?
Yeah.
Over the Star of David?
Yes, it was the Max Baer, Jim J. Braddock fight. Dan and I were watching it during the break.
Max Baer, Jim J. Braddock. My son Todd says he's Max Baer the Jew.
Let me say something to you, Raj, okay?
I'm just saying what my son says.
Let me just say something to you right now, okay? I understand your son's Arab-centric views, and I understand for a 10-year-old boy, he's very precocious, if you don't mind me saying.
I'm not trying to defend, you know, my son, Daddy is speaking. I'm not trying to defend, I just to ask the question, you know?
Okay, let me just tell you this. I don't like the reference to the Jew. There are certain ways people say that word that I don't like. And so I'm not going to answer that boy's question other than to say Mr. Baer was Jewish and he was wearing the Star of David on his trunks. And if your son has a problem with that...
Hold on. What do you mean, Shivan? No, Todd says no. He says, sorry, he made you angry. He just wanted to know the answer to the question, and he knows he hears of Mr. Max Baer, a great prize fighter, but he didn't show him.
You know something? I'm getting tired of this, the whole...
What's the matter?
You talking to the kid in Arabic. Tell that kid to speak English, will you?
It's none of your business.
Then I don't want to hear this kid in the background. James J. Braddock, Max Baer. What's the kid want to know?
Well, he said something. I don't know if you want me to say.
What did he say?
He said, put your wig back on.
What did he say?
He said, put your wig back on, Baldy. And...
You know, I'm going to ask you something, Raj, okay?
Yeah.
Don't you ever chastise that child?
I mean, I do, you know, but he is a smart boy.
He's a rude kid. And I wouldn't say anything were it not for the fact that he's directing his improper behavior and bad manners at me. And sometimes he directs it at my audience, Margaret.
Well, I don't think you should be so... I think the boy's refreshing. I think he's delightful. Todd, this is Margaret. How are you? You know, I speak a little bit of Arabic. I don't speak it, but I understand. He said what?
Say it to the lady.
I don't understand.
He said, how are you?
Oh, okay. I do speak some Arabic.
And you don't understand how are you?
I didn't understand it on the phone. I don't understand that either.
said, how are you again?
Wow.
Well, you know something.
I mean, I'm saying to.
All right, let's just forget it. All right, let's forget it. You think he's refreshing? I don't.
Well, I think that. Never mind.
All right, let's get back to the Twinkie story, can we?
Yeah, that's why I came on your show, to talk about the Twinkie story. I didn't know that we were going to get sidetracked.
Well, when we came out of the break, you were all about Max Baer, and your son wanted to know about the Star of David, so I tried to answer.
No, you're right, Phil, you're right. I mean, Todd, you Kuna Voodoo, Kuna Voodoo.
What do you
do? Kuna Voodoo and Indala Batiti.
What are you speaking there?
It's I made it up. It's just made up. It's not Arabic. That last one was not Arabic. I just went gulu budu because it was a joke. We were playing a joke on you.
Will you tell that kid to get out of there, man, so we can talk about this, please?
Go ahead, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 it doesn't mean anything either.
Tell him in Arabic or whatever language he speaks.
Okay, go. He speaks English.
Well, then tell him in English.
Todd, get out of here. Get out of here. Go to mama. Go to mama. Go to mama. I will be like American father. I will be like American father. Do you want that?
What does that mean, you'll be like an American father?
I'm sorry, I should not say.
What does that mean?
That I would molest him.
Wow, you just give... You know, it's one thing to have a negative view of the country, Raj.
No, hold on, Phil.
It's one thing to have a negative view of the country. It's another thing to be reinforcing it with an unbelievably negative and I think totally inaccurate look at American fatherhood. You'd molest him.
Well, look, you pick up a newspaper in this country, you know.
And if I picked up a newspaper in Egypt, what would I see?
What difference does that make? Is two wrongs don't make a right, you know?
Do you really believe, is that what you tell your son? I will be like an American father, I'll molest you?
I have to discipline the boy, and I will never strike my boy, You can be assured of this, I will never strike my boy.
Raj, I understand that it's very, very difficult to live in this country, America. We are an imperialist nation, we've left a very bad taste in the mouths of the people of the Middle East, and so I completely understand your attitudes. And I am in solidarity. Salam alaikum. Okay?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And,
what does that mean?
Oh, my God, he doesn't know what that means, Raj.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I think it means, the way you said it, I don't know.
Well, what is that, a greeting?
Oh, my, the two of you are really funny. Raj, I know you're pulling my leg, but Phil, you're just completely culturally ignorant. It salam alaikum means praise be to.
I don't know. I think it.
You don't know. You don't know what that means.
I think she's saying it wrong. You know.
I'm saying it wrong. Well, in any event, what I'd like,
Margaret, would you just let me get on with this, please?
What an ass.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. All right. Twinkies.
Right, Twinkie. Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm on it, Phil. Don't worry, I'm on it. Okay. Hold on. Can I get some coffee first, Phil?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, can I just get some coffee? I'm trying to straighten out, okay? I'm trying to get on my feet here.
What do you mean you're trying to get on your feet?
I'm a little bit, tell my wife to get some coffee, it's okay. Give me some coffee, huh? Huh? Cafe, huh? Yeah, Italiano, yeah. Come on out, Shinafi. My wife's going to bring me some coffee, and I'm going to get straightened out here. You know, it's been a tough one. It's a tough night, you know. I'll be okay. Don't worry. All right, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, what's going on with you anyway?
Huh?
What's going on with you anyway?
Phil, be...
Hold on. What is going on with you?
Nothing at all.
I'll tell you what's going on with you. Are you on those painkillers again?
No. No, not now.
What did I tell you about that, Raj? Coming on my show. Have you been to the hospital? What happened?
I'm okay now.
What are you talking about?
Just butt out for a second, will you, Margaret? You taking those pills again, aren't you?
Not now, I'm not. No, I did. I did last week, you know, but I told I'm getting away from that stuff now, okay? I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I swear to God, I'm not.
You got a family, you got a wife, you're over here, you got a business with your brother. I got you on the radio. And you're strung out, aren't you? You're strung out, aren't you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know that? And you got your son there.
Please don't say anything to my son.
Raj, there are times, I'm telling you.
Please, Mr. Henry, don't say anything to my son.
There are times when I want to vomit, you know, especially guys like you.
Just please don't say nothing to my son, Mr. Henry.
There are guys like you come over to this country, you know, and...
You can say anything you want about me. Please don't say nothing to Todd.
You come over to the country, you're crapping all over us, this, that, something else. And you were out there seeing you were seeing Dr. Feelgood, weren't you? Weren't you? All right. That's it. Good night.
Mister, you're not going to say nothing to my son, right?
No, I won't, okay?
Thank you. Thank God for you, Phil.
Wow. That guy's strung out on pills?
Well, Phil, don't you think you should hook him up to a doctor?
He's got doctors. He's got the guys are giving him the pills are doctors. I found out about this inadvertently. He was supposed to do a record. He was supposed to do a record with us to do a public affairs show, and he was supposed to show up. He showed up all right. And, I mean, that guy was a mess. And so he got hospitalized the first time that time. He was hospitalized again back in May, then in August.
Well, the man's he's a pill head.
Do you think? Yeah. And now here he is, and he's trying to get himself together with a cup of coffee. I can't talk to the guy. We'll be back. We'll have the hostess Twinkie story. We will continue with this. Don't worry about it, folks. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. I apologize.
Truth is our bitch. The
You're
Phil Henry
going to
Show.
Say anything to my son.
Would you hang up on that guy?
We're not going to say nothing to your son.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Raj Faneen joins us. He's gotten straightened out a little bit because he was scheduled. I'm very disappointed. I won't belabor the point, but Raj is back with us. And we won't talk about it, Raj, but let me put it to you this way. Sooner or later, you got to get this straightened out.
Well, I know that. I know that. And I promise for it to do that, you know. But I want to respectfully say to you that this has not been an easy time for me, you know. For me to be in America is a country that's a foreign country to me. I've been in this country a while. My son is born here, but it is an experience that alienates myself, my wife, my son. It's not easy, you know.
Well, maybe if you assimilate a little bit, man, maybe if you became a part of the country.
But it's difficult for me to be a part of America when the things that are valued in this country are not, I don't recognize. In Egypt, you know, we are aware of news and the top news stories of the day. In America, the people are not aware of the top news stories of the day. As I said to you many times on your program, Americans are only aware of food, you know, of fast food, you know. My son Todd, who is not in the room, I told him to go to his mother, and that's where he will be, and that's where he will stay. You're not allowed to be here, and I told him, Phil, that he offended you. And
all right, well, I don't want the kid punished or anything.
No, it's all right. I told him he's a bad boy, and he's with his mama, you know. But I will say that for my son, for myself, for my family, I live in a country where America people, the number one news story, you know, Mr. Andy?
Yeah?
The number one news story for all Americans is a hostess Twinkie about this Twinkie story, you know, a Wonder Bread and the Twinkie and Ding Dong. This is the number one news story of America. And I think that it's not something to be proud of, I don't think.
Well, I mean...
No, hold on. I respectfully request that you let me finish.
Go ahead.
I don't think it speaks well of your country for you to say to me that I'm a pillhead, and you're right, I abuse pills. I know that I abuse pills. I know that I do this. But how can you say Raj Farin is a bad man because he is a pillhead when in your country the number one news story is Hostess Twinkie? That's what your people know. That's what your people know.
Well, you know, Raj, there's a lot of different ways to answer that. First of all, I may be dumb, because I think that's what you're saying.
No, not necessarily I say that, but I say that you're trivial people, you know, trivial.
Okay, we may be trivial people, but I'm a trivial person that still gets up in the morning, goes and does my job and feeds my children, and that's what we do in this country, as opposed to you being addicted to pills, you know.
Well, I'm not saying that's not fair of you to say that pillhead is what Egyptian man is.
Well, then it's not fair of you to say that all Americans know is the Hostess Twinkie.
But you see, you're wrong, because if I look at the America people today, every single American knows about Twinkie. Every single American knows about the Hostess Twinkie. Every single American has opinion. But if I say, what of the Middle East? You know, look what is the Palestinian people. And the Israelis, and everything there. Tell me what you think. They don't know. No, they don't want to know. But the Twinkie they're telling me about. And go back to Mama. Go back to Mama, go. So you see, I tell Todd he is no longer welcome here.
Well, I mean, I don't mind the kid being there, Raj, as long as he keeps his yap shut.
I understand that. Todd! You know, I said for him to keep his mouth shut. If he wants to be here, he keep his mouth shut.
Okay, that's fine. Don't be cruel to the kid.
No, it's okay. He's either he keep his mouth shut or he goes with the women. And I told him, you can keep your mouth shut and learn to speak like a man, or you go to the women. What do you want to be? You want to be a woman? Todd, you get that note to woman?
No.
That's right.
You know what? You talk in Arabic to him, man. It really is alienating my audience, okay? Just don't either talk to him in English or don't talk to him at all.
Well, you understand that, say, Todd desires only Arabic.
I don't care what Todd desires, okay? I just don't. It's bugging me. I don't know.
Oh, aha. Because you can't see what we are saying to each other.
No, it's just it alienates my audience. It cuts us out of a portion of the program. I'm taking time listening to you, talking to your son in Arabic. And meanwhile, God knows what you're saying to the kid, and you're right. But that isn't about you telling secrets so much as it's not inclusive. When you listen to a radio show, all you have are the words and the sounds that are coming out of the radio. And if it's in Arabic...
I get you. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, I get you. I dig it. So, sales of Hostess assets. Listen to this, Phil. Sales of Hostess assets may generate $1 billion financial advisor... Joshua Scherer at Perella Weinberg. Oh, boy, is that...
What?
I shouldn't say. But the guy's name is Joshua Scherer at Perella Weinberg Partner. He's talked about $1 billion in Hostess Twinkie. And it's to foremost like the Jewish people, are leading America down a Twinkie, down into a Twinkie hole, you know. Yeah, Todd says it's like the Jewish interest in America is taking America people down right straight down into the Twinkie, into the Twinkie tank. Yeah, that's like TT, Twinkie tank.
All right, I've had enough of this whole Jewish American and Jewish this and Jewish that. Do you understand?
No, I didn't mean anything by it.
That's right, but you're bringing it up constantly.
But what do you call a Weinberg, share of a Weinberg partner?
Well, maybe they're Jewish and maybe they aren't, and maybe it's got nothing to do with anything. In this country, we may notice somebody's ethnicity. We may say, oh, your people came from this part of the world or that part of the world, or you come from this part of the country, that part of the country. But we do not judge people based upon their ethnicity or their skin color or their blood type or anything like that. It is their actions alone. And it doesn't necessarily mean because I happen to be in the financial end of things, that means all people of my type are in the financial ends of things, and we don't judge people that way. Not in America.
Wow.
Woo!
Yeah, that was real good, man. Yeah, that's real good. You know, Mr. Henry, I might like to hire you to play Abraham Lincoln on the next movie that we do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, I'm sorry.
Get rid of him, will you?
Well, you're the guy who brought him on.
He's a freaking pillhead. And he doesn't sound any straighter now than he did before the break.
That is absolutely embarrassing. And he had his boy with him.
Yeah, he had his son with him. And that son, that punk kid. The whole, that family, I'm telling you right now, Jewish this and Jewish that, and then, you know, Mr. Henry, and who's the guy with the Star of David, and I'm a pill head, but, you know, it's a lot worse. You people are into Twinkies. You know, we are into Twinkies, I'll tell you that. And right now, man, I'd be into a whole case of them. That's how hungry I am.
What's the weight? What is the weight at now?
I'm at 213 pounds. I was up to 217. As soon as I hit 210, I then was in D.C. during the Halloween period, and I ate a bunch of candy, and I pretty much kind of enjoyed myself. Got up to 217. I'm down to 213 now, but Thanksgiving is tomorrow, so we'll see. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Feels pretty good.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. That's our worldwide web headquarters. You can enjoy us there with a backstage pass, watch our video, listen to over 4,500 hours of archived radio shows going back over a decade, covering all kinds of periods of American of contemporary American times, and all with the satirical approach and that we've taken over the years that has baffled and befuddled and delighted millions. All right. Here's a news story that I thought was kind of cool. We're going to get back to the Twinkie thing, man, but let's take a break, okay?
Well, what do you want to go back to the Twinkie thing for, Phil? It was a disaster.
Yeah, that guy's a pillhead.
He might have been a pillhead. We're talking about Raj Faneen, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to bail on the story.
Well, I don't know that the story has any legs now as a result of the that demonstration by that man, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Well, you don't know how to feel about it because you were all ready to be all kissy-poo with the Palestinian cause.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's true. You thought you had, like, a solidarity and everything.
I am in solidarity with the righteousness of the Palestinian movement. Okay? What are you smiling at?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, no rich lady does.
No rich lady does. Are you listening to the swill that pours out of its face? Are you feeding him that?
I'm not feeding him anything.
Well, where does he get that?
Where does he get what?
Where does he get the idea that the rich lady can't have solidarity with the righteousness of the, what is it? I don't know what they call themselves now, but it was the PLO, wasn't it?
Are you talking about the Palestinian people?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's whether, what difference? No, it ain't the PLO. It's Hamas, if you want to talk about organizations.
No, it's not Hamas. It's the Palestinian Liberation Organizations, all of them, whatever they are. And I have solidarity with the women, especially, who are forced to do their laundry in sewers, in toilets, basically. And they're forced to do their laundry there, because there are no washing machines. There are no, what do they have?
But I don't know, like, what, do they have any of them scrub boards?
Yeah, what about those washboards?
What about those washboards? You think you're funny?
Well, Margaret, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're in a part of the world where there's a lot of oil money and there's a lot of solidarity. You talk about your solidarity.
Solidarity? What are you nervous about?
I'm not nervous about anything. I think it's all the Turkish coffee. I think I'm more in solidarity with people from that part of the world by the fact that I'm drinking Turkish coffee tonight than anybody else.
Oh, really? Well, what part of the world is Turkey? That isn't the Middle East. That's Asia Minor.
What?
It's Asia Minor. It's the Crimea. Isn't it Crimea?
I don't know whether it's Asia Minor. Yeah, it's Asia Minor.
Well, what's Crimea?
Crimea's the Evita. Remember that?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, Robert?
Crimea's. Don't cry me. Remember that? Don't cry for me, Argentina's. What that one?
Oh my God! Is he an idiot?
Oh. You know something, Margaret? You're calling everybody an idiot around here. Nobody knows what it is you're talking about. You're in solidarity with the righteousness of the Palestinian women, and da 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 da. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, I get it. So you think I'm just a bourgeois woman, is that it?
No, I'm not. If you are a bourgeois woman, I don't mean that as an affront or to insult you, but there is a reality to that. You know, over here in America, the way we live, the way we are, we're so far removed from that world, you know. I mean, I have to tip my cap to anybody that travels to that part of the world to try to learn something about it.
I was part of the human shield against the bombing of the Iraqis. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, and you were singing folk songs. And then in came the American missiles.
Yeah, and you were all laughing about that. Every time I was singing, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Bud and Robert don't remember that. You were too young. But I was in Iraq.
What are you crying for?
It was very traumatic.
Oh.
I was in Iraq. Oh, look at you. Oh, I see. So I'm making it all up, huh?
Well, Margaret, I mean, you know, you weren't exactly under a rain of bombs. A lot of that were just sound effects we were putting in.
How dare you tell people that, even if it is true? I was over there singing, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And the incoming scared me to death.
But what's that song?
What?
Where are the flowers gone?
What did the flowers gone?
Woo!
Where have all the flowers gone, Bud? It's an old folk song.
What's that mean?
It's the flowers are compared to young men who go off to war. Where have all the flowers gone? The young girls have picked them. Where have all the young men gone? They've gone off to war, you see.
What?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Are you saying like they died from VD?
Died from VD? What the hell has that got to do with anything?
What is he talking about?
Well, you're talking about where have all the men gone? Where have all the young men gone?
Yeah.
Well, the young girl picked them.
That can only mean one thing, that they died of a venereal infection, but...
Did you listen to what I just said? I said the song says, where have all the flowers gone?
I'll sing that. It goes like this, Robert. It's very pretty. 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hit it. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. You understand? Where have all... See? Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men... See what I mean?
No, I mean...
You slow it down and sing the song.
Well, I'm trying to cut to it. I'm just trying to get to it because it's really a rather dull... It's a beautiful song, but it's dull as living hell.
But I don't know what the song is. Gotta sing it.
All right, here. It goes like this.
It's a beautiful song, but it's dull as hell.
Yes. No, don't... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I know many of you like
Where'd all the flower gone?
Where did all the flower gone? F-L-O-U-R?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I don't know. Someone...
Not F-L-O-U-R. F-L-O-W-E-R.
That's what I thought. But he said, where did all the flower gone?
Will you sing it, please?
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
I gotta ask. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. What now?
Why do you gotta count everything down?
It is a... Phil, you not being a professional singer.
Yeah, I'm saying you're not a professional singer. You don't know nothing about it.
All right, go ahead.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3. 2, 3. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing, where have all the flower gone? Where have all the flower... Hold on for a minute. Where did all the flower go? Long time...
Wait a minute. Wait.
Would you stop interrupting me?
What is where did all the flower go?
That's what it's called, to make more sense like that. The other way, who knows what it's about?
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I know it's an old song and everything.
What are you talking about? It's an easy song to understand. Where have all the flowers gone? They're making comparisons. It's an old folk song. It's about the flowers on the hill that the young girls pick, and it's about the young men that go off to war. Flowers and young men, war, and, you know, it's all...
Yes, so in other words, war is... young women are compared to the ravages of war. And so, in other words, a war, something that maims, something that mutilates, something that destroys, and something that burns, is exactly the same thing as a young girl. My God, Phil.
I didn't write the song.
That would be same.
I don't know, bud. I got to take a break. I got to take a break.
You're out for the break. You don't have to take a break now. I want to find out something. Is it called Where Did All the Flower Go? Where Have All the Flower Gone? Where is all the flower gone? Or where is all the flowers gone?
It's called Where Did All the Flowers Go?
Can I sing it now?
Margaret, I've been waiting for you to sing it for 15 minutes.
No, no. Don't make this about me now, Phil. No,
I started the hour out. Just sing it, will you?
All right. One, two, one, two, three. Don't look at me like I'm some kind of a... Don't look at me like I'm an epileptic.
I'm not looking at you like that.
Well, you've got this look like you're waiting for me to pitch myself onto the floor so you can put a spoon in my mouth. God.
Okay, you ready?
One, two, three, and a one, two, three, and a one, two, three, two, two, two. One, two, one, two, three. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all... Can I speed it up?
Go ahead.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Gone to young girls. That's it. Gone to young girls, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Then it says, where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
I get the point about when are you going to learn, but what are you going to learn about a flower?
What?
When I say, when will they ever learn?
What does that mean, Margaret?
What does what mean?
What does it mean when the young girls pick all the flowers, when will they ever learn?
Don't pick all the flowers or they'll be all gone.
Oh.
You know, you guys really would qualify... Have you, and I mean this sincerely, and I don't know if... Have you thought about Goodwill Industries? Have you thought about doing a radio show for them?
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
So you're going to blow by my question?
Yeah, I am.
Truth is our bitch. Yeah. The Phil Hendry Show.
Goodwill Industries, they've done wonderful work with a lot of people.
So Dan Northcraft and I were talking about, because Margaret, you had made a reference to me looking at you like you have epilepsy, which I don't believe I was, but...
Well, you looked like you wanted to thrust your finger into my mouth and pull my tongue from my throat.
No. But I'll tell you, we were talking about it during the break, and I went to school with this couple of kids that had that. And this is back when they didn't have, when I say back, you know, I'll tell you what. You can really start to feel old when you start saying, wow, they didn't have that then. I thought they did. Because I figured I grew up in a pretty modern time. I mean, I figure I grew up in the 60s. They did have computers. They just didn't have personal computers. We had television. We had satellite television, although most people had regular over-the-air TV. But there was cable, and there was some form of satellite. There were mobile phones, but only, I don't know, not rich guys, but business guys had them, guys that really needed to stay in touch. You know?
What do you mean?
Well, they had mobile phones. It used to be weird to see a mobile phone. You'd see a car going down the street, and the antenna was always in the middle of the trunk. It was in the middle of the back of the car. You'd see this antenna. So you figured either it was a cop car or it was some rich guy. I don't know why I thought rich, but I always thought rich with one of those fancy schmancy, what we used to call radio phones. And there was a period there where I think my dad had one, although my father was far from a rich man.
Well, your father was upper middle class.
Upper middle class.
Shut your...
Ow.
Upper middle... You mean upper?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think my father was middle class. But nonetheless, I was upper middle class, but my dad was middle class. I had more money than my father. I'm kidding around.
Was that from your paper route?
Exactly. So, And you see these radio phones. So in the 60s, I figured stuff was modern. I was a kid in school. I was still in grade school. But I don't think they had the medicine that they have today to control epilepsy, because every now and again, we had one kid in our class, very nice kid. Nice kid, because I know I hung around with him. And if I hung around with you, you were a good guy. I'm kidding. I had no problem with the guy, you know. And I remember him playing sports with us and everything else. But a couple of times, and just a couple of times, he suddenly, like one time he was in front of the class. I don't know what was going on. I think he was either being chastised by the nun.
What's that mean, chastised by the nun? She was spanking him or something like that?
Why don't you shut up, man, so I can hear something for a change?
What?
Shut up so I hear him finish the story.
Good point, Robert. Thank you.
I don't know.
Anyway, all of a sudden the kid falls over in front of the whole class, and I missed it. I saw him standing there, and the next second he was gone. He was on the floor, and they were attending to him. He'd had an epileptic fit. And then another time he had the same thing happen to this kid out on the playground at school. So it was a disease, to be honest with you, or an ailment, a malady that was very, very misunderstood, if it was understood at all. Most people thought, like I did as a kid, that it had something to do with how, like, jacked up the person was. You know, it had nothing to do with anything other than, wow, you know, like they were weird or something.
You're kidding me.
No. I mean, I not that they were weird, but that their personality was kind of crackers, you know. It was terribly misinformed, and it was a bad thing for a kid, but what did I know? So, anyway, make a long story short, there was a big public service educational campaign that I don't think really started until the 80s. And it finally addressed the public misconceptions about epilepsy. And it was a public service campaign. They had these advertisements saying, hey, you know, I have epilepsy. They were very famous people. And among them was a guy that I personally, you know, liked, because I liked basketball, and I liked Bobby Jones, who played for the 76ers. And I had no idea Bobby Jones was an epileptic.
Bobby Jones, I remember seeing him.
But you remember Bobby Jones?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. He played with Dr. J.
Yeah, he played with Dr. J on the Sixers. Yes, he did. Bobby Jones was maybe a little younger than Dr. J. Bobby Jones was about a year older than me. So, but I didn't have any idea that he was a epileptic. And when I heard that, I was, well, how can a guy possibly play professional basketball and have epilepsy? It must be something that obviously can be controlled with medicine, and it doesn't make you some kind of a lunatic. And I've had nothing but bad information on this my whole life. And unfortunately, like so many things in life, we only go out and get information on things when it directly affects us, when it is something that has a lot to do with how we, you know, live our lives day to day, because there's so much else that we have to deal with. And I just didn't have all the, I never was prejudiced against people with epilepsy, but it was one of those things where you thought, if I'm hanging out with someone who has epilepsy, you better be ready, because at any second they're going to pitch over and start choking on their tongue or something.
What about choking on their tongue?
That's on account of when you have the epilepsy, you're going to eat your own tongue and stuff. A lot of times they'll say you even try to gnaw on your own face.
They don't gnaw on their own faces.
Where did you hear that, bud?
That's what I heard.
Well, where did you hear that?
I don't know. A couple guys were talking about it one day, and then... So I think I read about it or something, but I heard a couple guys.
You didn't hear nobody talking about it, man. You made that stuff up.
No, I didn't.
Nobody gnaws on their own face. All right? That just doesn't happen. But the fact is they had a big... And nowadays, you don't hear nothing about it. You don't hear nothing about it. You know that people have epilepsy. They treat it with medicine. They are able to control these... We don't call them fits anymore. They called them when I was a kid. They used to say, oh, he had an epileptic fit. Or my mom would say, oh, that poor boy, did he throw a fit? You know, that's what we mean. That's what that term means, by the way, folks, when you hear someone say throw a fit. It was just very misunderstood. And so now, of course, we call them seizures, and there you go.
Didn't you say that you had to go into a sleep clinic at one time?
Yeah, I did. I had to go to a sleep clinic. I went to the sleep clinic at UCLA because I had a period of time in my life I could not sleep, man. And I had bad insomnia, and I was waking up multiple times throughout the night. It was terrible. So my doctor wanted me to, he thought that maybe I was having seizures in my sleep and I didn't know it, that something was happening to me while I was asleep that was keeping me from getting REM sleep or keeping me from getting that good deep sleep. And so he wanted to know more about that. So I went over to the UCLA sleep clinic over there, Which, by the way, UCLA, and this was back in the early 80s, and I don't know if, I'm sure that it's changed now, because they have you go in, and here's what they do in a sleep, at least the way it was in the early 80s. They'd say, okay, Mr. Henry, how are you doing? And they tell you, you can't sleep the whole night, you cannot sleep. So I had to stay up all night so that you would fall off to sleep easily. And I go into this sleep clinic, and there is a guy at a, you know, obviously some kind of a readout, some type of machine that is going to read my electroencephalogram, which is EEG. Those are the brain waves. That is the electro impulse from the brain waves that can be registered on these sensors that get fed into, what are you looking at, bud?
What? Sounds like it's from outer space or something.
Take it easy, man.
What, are you afraid of it?
What do you mean it hooks you up on a brainwave?
Take it easy, man.
Do you got to stick the wires into your brain?
No, they don't stick the wires in your brain. They tape them to your head.
How are you going to read a brainwave that way?
It just does. I don't know how it does. Jeez, you see the look on his face?
You look like you were about... Bud, I swear to God, you look like you're about to crap 5 shades of this.
Ew.
Sorry.
What is that, tomato soup?
Yes.
Anyway,
I didn't have dinner.
Anyway, 5 shades of red.
That must mean like he has,
Never mind what it means. So anyway, now there comes the break. Well, you guys just... Anyway, I went into the sleep clinic and they put my head, they wired it up and I wasn't having seizures and I went home. Thank you. That's the end of that story. We'll be back with more news. The Middle East has got a truce going on, man. We'll try to dig into that as best as we can, not take a whole lot of time on it, because frankly, you can talk for hours and hours about that stuff in the Middle East. People won't know what you're talking about, and I've not met anybody yet that fully understands it, other than maybe one or two people, but they were people that don't listen to the radio. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Where are my glasses? Here they are. You know, I've taken to wearing these Dr. Dean Adele specials, you know.
Well, you should get your eyes checked properly.
I'm going to have my eyes checked properly, but in the interval, I'm using these Dr. Dean Adele, you know, right off the rack. What's the difference?
I just think you have to have your eyes checked properly.
There's no... You can get a Dr. Dean Adele.
Dr. Dean Adele. Isn't that the way Rush... Anyway.
Yeah, that's Rush Limbaugh calling.
Gaza truce finally in effect. A ceasefire took hold on Thursday in and around Gaza after a week of cross-border violence between Israel and Palestinian militants that killed at least 160 people. Foreign Minister Mohammed Kamel Amir of Egypt, which brokered the ceasefire after marathon talks, announced the cessation of hostilities at a joint news conference in Cairo with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. I got to, just as a personal note, not a personal, just as an aside here, Hillary Clinton looks really tired, man. I don't know if anybody has noticed that, but when I see her on TV or I see her standing next to Obama, she looks beat to hell. I mean, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, and I don't mean that as an insult. I actually say it out of admiration. She looks like she's working her ass off. And, you know, I have to tell you, she's been all about the work, man. I don't hear her running around trying to make headlines, and I don't see any kind of a self-aggrandizing, grandstanding personality there. Secretary of State Clinton, Hillary Clinton, since she took that job, has been all about the job. That's what it seems like to me. And now, after how many years on the job? 5, going on 5 years. She's going to get, I think she said she's done after another year. She really looks like she's had the crap kicked out of her, man. She just looks really beat up. But she was on the plane from wherever the hell they were, Cambodia or I forget where they were. Myanmar. How do you pronounce that?
It's called, I can't believe, you're a talk show host and you don't know the name of that town. Or the name of that, where was he?
He was in a country. You don't know the name of it?
I do know the name of it. I didn't know if it was a town or a country.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he went to meet the prime minister of a town.
I don't know. The name of it, Phil, is Myanmar, I believe.
Uh-huh. You're not even sure.
Well, I'm surer than you are.
Myanmar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Myanmar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're just saying that to be contrary to me. I think it's Myanmar.
All right. In any event, she got dispatched from there to Egypt to take care of this burgeoning problem in the Middle East. And the reason why we're taking care of this burgeoning problem in the Middle East is twofold. Number one, lots and lots of oil. Number two, Israel. Israel is our ally. Israel is our friend. Israel is a democratic state. The rest of the Arab world is filled with despots, totalitarians, dictators, kings, and scum. It's run by terrorists. It's run by the warlords. And the whole place is strictly from hunger. And while the Arab people are people that deserve better, they're not getting better. They're being propagandized to death by the various factions, like in the Gaza. I'm sure that they have full freedom to say, you know what, I think Hamas is really running this thing right into the ground. I don't like them, and I wish we had a different form of leadership here in Gaza. I'm sure they're allowed to say that publicly and just with absolute and complete freedom. Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you think they do?
Because they're going to wind up hanging from a telephone pole. That's why.
How dare... Are you comparing the righteous and the...
Oh, Margaret, would you knock it off with the righteous this and righteous that?
The righteous solidarity. I have righteous solidarity.
Yeah, you got righteous solidarity with a toilet.
Did you hear what he... You're a witness. You heard what he said.
Yes, I heard it. It wasn't good, but...
Ow!
Yeah. How's that feel? I got righteous solidarity with this right hand.
When you go to the toilet, then?
I'm going to the toilet. Where I can have some peace, where I can at least talk to someone who understands me. Me.
One of your turds?
You dirty...
Hey! Hey, break it up! Break it up!
Yeah, see, you bet you thought you... Ow!
Man! But what is it with you?
I didn't do anything.
Yes, she was on her way into the bathroom and goes solidarity with one of your turds. You must... You know what? You got a death wish, man. I'll tell you that.
Somebody got to say it.
Someone doesn't have to say anything. She's got an opinion that you don't agree with. It doesn't mean you have to insult her.
Does it to me?
Yes, no, she called him a gargoyle and a thing, and called him a thing from the crypt and everything like that one time. Not a thing from a crypt, but she all... Everything like that.
All right, fine. Just then show that you're better than her, okay?
I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Great, good. In any event, foreign minister, so you know all about the Egyptians, and then we have Secretary of State Clinton. The U.N. Security Council urged Israel and Hamas to uphold a ceasefire while joining with U.S. President Barack Obama in praising Egypt's President Mohamed Morsi for mediating an end to the violence. The accord, a copy of which was obtained by AFP, calls on Israel to stop all hostilities in the land, sea, and air, including incursions, yada, 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 and that urges... the Palestinian factions to end rocket attacks and all attacks along the border. Now, I don't know what the... I understand the point of view of the... Let's take Hamas out of this mix. Well, I guess you can't. Let's just say that the most legitimate complaint that's coming from Gaza is that they are blockaded. In other words, the movement in and out of Gaza is strictly controlled by the Israelis and by Egypt, because one of the border crossings is into Egypt. Egypt doesn't want a refugee problem. Egypt does not want that. And as much as they may be in agreement with the ultimate aims of a Palestinian state, not necessarily Hamas, but as much as they may be in agreement with people who say that Israel's really sitting on those people in Gaza and they can't breathe. Fact is, Egypt gets it, man. They don't want, you know, they don't want Palestinians pouring into Egypt any more than Israel wants them pouring into Israel. Why? Security for Israel. They don't need any more bus bombings. Thank you very much. And for people to say, well, you know, that's kind of, you're painting everybody as a terrorist. Well, I mean, come on, man. Not everybody's a terrorist. All it takes is one, as they say. Now, there was just a bus bombing here 2 days ago, just ahead of this ceasefire. Egypt. They just don't need the humanitarian crisis that's going to be caused. So, but I understand saying, you know, we lift the blockade so that there can be more funneling of commerce. There can be more commerce the introduction of goods, humanitarian aid, and so forth that they need. Israel is saying, we don't want weapons going into Gaza. That's just all there is to it. And there's Hamas firing rockets. Now, you ask, how come Hamas is doing that? I don't know. I understand that life in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, as they call it, in Gaza City, sucks. I get that. I don't know what firing these rockets randomly into suburban civilian neighborhoods of Israel, I don't know what that's supposed to do other than cause Israel to fire back. So it's very clear to me, no matter what the situation in the Gaza Strip, it's very clear to me that Hamas is not making it any better, nor do they intend on making the humanitarian situation any better. They're looking to make it worse before it gets better. They want, it seems, more of their people to get killed as some kind of a propaganda tool or ploy to focus the world's attention on their problem. I mean, how can you argue against that? How do you say, well, the random firing of rockets is a legitimate defensive measure? They're getting their asses handed to them. Every time they do that in 2008, 2009, the Israelis went in. They were about to do the same thing now. What the hell? And does Hamas really think they've got the weaponry to go toe-to-toe or even the weaponry to stand off Israel if they decide to, if Israel decided, like, you know, they just did, to launch their own attack to try to neutralize these rockets? Does Hamas think they've got the punching power to stop Israel from doing that? They must be out of their mind if they do, and of course they don't. They know they fire these rockets enough, there's bound to be a violent response, and Palestinians die. So, Hamas, you're full of crap. You always have been, you always will be, and nice try, you know. But the world is going to buy that bull crap because, hey, just like Margaret, you know, she's in solidarity with the women that are washing their clothes in a toilet.
You know, may I say something?
Go ahead.
I love how you just make me out to be some kind of bourgeois picking the dirt out from between my toes. I don't know.
Yeah?
Well, you know, I'm not that stupid. I understand that this group you're talking about, whatever they're called, what are they, Hamas?
Yes. You should know.
Phil, what I know is solidarity.
Yeah, with the women that are washing their clothes in a toilet. Shut up. Ow! She hit me again.
She's hitting you with a paper.
Just shut your hole. Shut the hole under your nose and everything's going to be fine. We and others like me and the women that we, the group that I told you about last night, do you remember the group Friends?
Yes. Now, these are the nudists?
Yes, we do. And I don't want to hear anything from him or him.
Guys, just be quiet.
Now, you know that we do regular marches from the East Bay, and I know I'm not a resident of the East Bay. I'm a member of Friends, but I live in Southern California. But I do commute to the East Bay. We do regular marches nude. Then we do our yoga, and we have protested the ban on nudity. Now, we are also very much in solidarity, and we are co-ed.
Shut up, bud.
We join with our sisters in Code Pink to be in solidarity with the ones over in Palestine. All right?
Margaret, you know, every time... Can I say something?
What?
Every time you go into this description of your political point of view, you sound like... Robert?
Ms. Ray, you do. You sound like someone who is now just learning how to speak after coming out of a coma.
Yeah.
What did he just say?
You sound like someone who's learning how to speak after coming out of a coma.
All of you, all three of you can rot. I could only wish that the Nazis still existed and the three of you were Jews.
Oh, man. Did you hear that one?
I'm taking a walk.
Yeah, she's probably going for that flask in her purse.
Maybe.
I wish the Nazis were still around and the three of you were Jews.
What's that mean?
Never mind. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this fantastic news. I tried to tell you about the whole thing there in the Middle East, but I think we've boiled it all down. We've boiled the American argument down pretty good. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't
the
have
Phil
a
Phil Henry Show.
Making a joke. And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Well, so we could get some kind of perspective on what we're talking about. Not that we're not getting good perspective here in our studio discussion, but I got to tell you, it sometimes just gets a little silly. Let's bring on the line here Don Berman, who is with Channel 19 News, and Don has been a part of our... I would say he's a part of our news contribution team when things are, you know, when things get to be in that breaking news stage. Although the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, if we can call it that, is not now so much breaking as it is cooling. Let's go into the Channel 19 newsroom right now with Don Berman. How are you doing, Don?
Well, I'm very, very good, and I'm grateful that you are giving me a call here to talk about this.
And this is so, you've been reporting on the Palestinian and the Israeli conflict for as long as you've been in news, huh?
Phil, I began in the late 1970s upon my graduation from Northwestern, where I went to the broadcast school, and it was at that time, by the way, Phil, that I was I first traveled to Lebanon and reported on the winding down of the civil war in Lebanon. Which then wound back up again.
Boy, there was a story most people today don't even know anything about. I mean, there's a whole generation of people that know nothing of what Beirut was an absolute. It was just a war zone, wasn't it?
Well, Beirut was one of many cities in the Middle East in those days that was war torn, and Lebanon itself was a ravaged nation. As you know, Phil, eventually Israel did go into Lebanon so that they could clean out some of the Hezbollah cells and the Hezbollah camps in southern Lebanon that were launching attacks on Israeli territory in the north. And in many ways, you have a similar situation in Gaza right now with Hamas. Hamas is no less an enemy of Israel. Hamas is no less intent on destroying the Israeli state and in killing Israeli citizens. So I can assure you, and if Ms. Gray is there, I certainly do appreciate Ms. Gray's point of view on this.
Yes, I'm here, Don, but I'm not ready to concede necessarily. I do think that you have expertise in this area, but I'm not ready to concede the argument. My question is very simply this. What are the people of Gaza to do? All right, you're following me, right?
Yes, I'm following you.
What are the people of Gaza to do insofar as living like human beings while Israel is, and Phil said it very well, sitting on them?
Well, I don't think Israel, it's not a gratuitous state of affairs by Israel. Israel is attempting to defend its right to be a free state, and that is a secure state, while the Palestinian people are goaded on by these groups like Hamas, like Hezbollah, where the Palestinian people then believe they're in some kind of a freedom fight. Well, you know what I know, that isn't true. But hold on for a minute. Yeah?
I don't get that. Hey, how you doing? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm very, very sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, huh? Yeah, look at that, huh?
Right, Mr. Martin, are you going to...
I didn't, I'm very, very sorry, and please give my apartment...
No, hello.
Hi, it's Phil Henry.
Hey, Mr. Henry, how you doing? I'm very, very sorry, and I apologize very, very much. I came away, and I know that you've been on the radio before here with Don. I just want to get an espresso. The machine's over near your desk, you know?
I've asked you if you could take the machine away from my desk.
It's good here. I like it here. It'd be no good if we took it away. Yeah. So, Phil, if we have to deal with that tonight...
That espresso machine, I don't know how you...
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I work for a man. Well, I work for a man who...
You work for a man who what?
I work for a man who wears a ring on his...
He wears a ring on his pinky finger.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that that represents anything. But I am saying that there is a bit of caution that I think one has to. And anyway, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow at the beach house. And I'm so sorry. Hold on. No, it's all right. So, yeah, I'll see you at the beach house, Betty. Okay, Betty?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Betty. I'm talking. I'll see you at the beach house tomorrow. Okay, see you later, Miss Blunt.
I'm very, very sorry. I'm just coming back and make.
I'll see you at the beach. Okay, he's gone.
What was that beach house?
I've got to change the subject when the guy comes over to make the coffee. I'm talking about him wearing a pinky.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Well, in the time that we have, let's discuss what we have to discuss.
Right. I just wanted you to know that the espresso machine here, this guy, this, you know, Goomba. He's going to come over here with the oil in his hair. And, yeah, so that's great. Oh, I know. I've had it. It's delicious. I love Italian food. Yes. No, I love Italian. Oh, hi, Mr. Martin. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Oh, just getting up.
Yeah, no, Italian food. I'm just talking to a friend of mine about, you know any good Italian places?
Yeah, I do. I know a couple of good places. They don't have Nick's Fish Market no more, but I got a couple of places.
Okay, well, all right, he's gone.
So every time he walks over there, you got to change the subject. So let's just talk about what it is we want to talk about, okay?
All right. I just wanted to let you know, you know.
Well, you don't have to call him a Goomba, all right?
Oh, would you quit being so politically correct, Margaret? Would you do me the favor, please?
I'm not trying to do anything other than to keep you from getting into trouble. Calling him a Goomba, calling him a guinea.
Look, I've been around these two-bit guineas my whole life, and let me tell you, I've been to the flower show. I would love to. I would absolutely love it. Yeah, sure. All right, I'll meet you there at 2, and I'll have my camera, and we'll take pictures of the daisies. Hi, how you doing? Real good. So, he's gone now.
Yeah, well, now we're into our break.
You're into your what?
Into the break. Now we're into our top of the hour break.
Well, I've got to do the midnight news.
Midnight news?
Yeah. What? Don't talk to me like that's weird. We always do the midnight report.
Yeah, I'll bet you do, man.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. Yeah, I'll meet you there at the flower show. Yeah.
He's trying to make it so the other guy wouldn't know.
I understand, bud.
Phil Hendry.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our last hour here. It is officially, by the way, Thanksgiving. So a very, very, from all of us here at the Phil Hendry Show to all of you, a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And we hope you have a good one. Thanksgiving is for enjoying good food. It's for enjoying the very best of friends and family. It's a happy time. It should be a very, very happy time. Anything that happens today that is a bother or is a pain in the ass or is makes you angry, get it away from you. Throw them out of your house if you have to. I'm not kidding. And have a great, and don't feel guilty about it either because, you know, you're entitled to have a good day. So,
I heartily concur on that one, I can tell you. And I thank you very much for that.
I think that's reasonable, Phil, although there are some of us that have to, you know.
Have to what?
Well, I don't want it. Frank's sister is in town.
All right. Well, if you have to put up with certain family members, I guess you have to. But I'm just saying, minimize the... This is not a time I hear so many people talk about during these holidays, oh, it's a terrible time. I say, why? Well, because my mother and my father and my sister, all of this family dynamic stuff. Don't go through with it. It's not worth it, you know. If you got to sit there by yourself eating candy out of a box and watching... You know, reruns of Floyd Patterson and Muhammad Ali, which is what we're doing right now,
I've got something. Well, I guess you heard that.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Then that's what you got to do. Now, during the news break, I heard, Don, you were talking to Mr. Martin, who's the owner and general manager of Channel 19, right?
Yes, and I was watching on Phil TV and HD. You were showing part of the Muhammad Ali-Floyd Patterson fight, which you're showing right now. And I said to him, he says to me, what are you watching? I said, I'm watching Floyd Patterson and Muhammad Ali. And he said, well, who do you like in the fight? And I said, "What do you?" He said, "Who do you like?" I said, "Well, I think I said I like Muhammad Ali because he's going to win." He says, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because the fight's already taken place." And
this man said this to you?
Yes, yes. And I said, "The fight's already taken place." He said, "Do you mean a recording?" And I said, "Yes, this is a recording, if you want to call it that." I said, "It's a film." He said, he says to me, "Because I like the other guy."
Meaning who? Floyd Patterson?
Meaning Floyd Patterson. And I said, well, you know, the other guy, he lost. And he says to me, no, but I still like him. And I said to this idiot, hey, do you want to sell your car, Phil? You do? Yeah, because I really like to buy it. I like your Jaguar. Oh, you lease it. All right. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, you still watching the fight, huh?
Yeah, I'm watching the fight.
All right.
And
how's it going so far?
Well, it looks like it's a pretty good fight. I'll let you know. And
that guy is going to be very unhappy when you win that bet.
Well, he wanted a bet. I told him it was a recording of the fight.
Wait a minute. Did you tell him this fight took place in 1965?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And the man is so stupid.
This guy is a classic mafiosa. I'm telling you right now, I shouldn't say this, but he is. He's a borderline moron, and he wanted to know...
And he owns your TV station.
Yes, he does.
Well, I gotta tell you, whoever sold it to him, I mean, something's wrong. Somebody owed something to somebody, and if I were you, I'd get out of that situation.
Excuse me, Phil. I'm an Emmy Award-winning newsman from Channel 19. I don't need for any advice like that, if you don't mind. I've made my reputation here at Channel 19... And it is here, at Channel 19, where I will stay. Now,
All right, well, that's fine, Don, but in the meantime, you've just bet this man. Now, what was the bet?
Well, the bet, he wanted odds. I said, I'll give you 5-1.
So, by giving him those odds, he now knows that you knew the outcome.
He knew that he already knew that. I told him.
Don't you understand? He told him the fight was 50 years old or something, right?
I told him it was a 47-year-old fight.
I know that, but obviously that didn't register. What registers with that guy is money and odds. And when you laid 5-1 on him, when you said to him, I'll give you 5-1 and you can take Patterson and I'll take Ali, he now knows that you played him, and that's the way those kind of guys think.
Oh, is that right? That's the way those kind of guys think. So where did you all of a sudden, wow, get a load of you, where did you get your understanding of gangland underworld culture?
I don't have any special understanding. I'm just trying to size this guy up. If he's too stupid to understand what it means when you say I've got a recording of a 50-year-old fight on, he is not going to be too stupid to understand that you gave him 5-1 on a fight that you win. And he doesn't.
Well, I'm just telling you that this guy is about as dumb as... Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, you bet. I love it over there. It's beautiful. We're going to take the ride. So how you doing, Miss Martin?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's the fight going, huh?
It looks good so far.
Is that Patterson guy? I love that Patterson.
No, I don't. Yeah, it's... Okay, so we'll take the ride to Las Vegas, huh, Phil? Oh, okay, great. Yes, sir. I'll see you in a minute.
Hey, where are you going to Vegas?
Oh, I don't know. We'll probably go, you know, the usual...
See over Caesars, huh? Like, I know everybody's Caesars, huh? See the buffet, huh?
Yeah, sure. All right, so he's gone.
You know, if I were you, I would not collect on that bet.
Why not?
Just don't. If you win the fight, just tell him, sir, I thought you knew that I was kidding. You know?
Wait just a minute here. If this guy bets me and he loses and he's about as dumb as the day is long... I'm supposed to take it in the shorts? You're telling me? That's what these guys do. That's what every one of these greaseballs do.
They always say, I love the way you look, honey. Oh, I love you in that dress. Yes, I do. How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing real good. I'm doing just as good as I was doing the last time you were here to get another espresso, which is like 30 seconds ago. I love this stuff. I drink it up like water, you know? I love it. It's like water. This stuff is like vitamins to me. I don't know what it is. All right. How's the fight going? Okay, I should hate that. I would not want to lose this fight, I tell you that. 5-1 odds. I mean, come on. I would never in my wildest dreams would I ever want to lose this fight. All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
In other words, just tell him, when you win, you don't... Because I'll tell you what's going to happen here.
Whoa. Hold on for just a minute. Hold on for just a second here, okay? Since when did you become Nicholas Pileggi? Since when are you the guy, the big, gangland expert?
That's what I'm trying to say to him, Don. Phil, you think you know all about it.
I'm just telling you, and you don't have to believe me, that even if you say to this guy, I was kidding, the fight is over 50, it's almost 50 years old, and I didn't mean to bet you, he's still going to want you to pay up.
Are you kidding me? This greaseball, he's not going to get me to pay up nothing. This fight doesn't even exist. It happened in 1967.
You gave him 5-1, didn't you?
I gave him 5-1. If Patterson won, Patterson's not even going to win.
It doesn't matter. He's going to feel like a real chump, and he's going to expect you to pay up 5-1. What was the bet?
It's $1,000.
Have you got $5,000?
Have I got five? Does anybody have $5,000? Are you kidding?
Well, he's going to want you to pay.
Oh, listen to Mr. Gangster Expert. Woo! I'm all scared here.
I'm telling you right now, he's going to want you to pay.
Margaret, would you straighten this guy out, okay? I got to go to... Frankly, I got to go take a dump. Thank you.
Phil.
No, don't fill me, okay?
No, Phil, don't you get it? The fight...
No, don't you guys get it. This Mr. Martin guy, you guys think he's stupid? He's going to find out this fight is a fight that already took place. He's going to expect Don to pay up anyway.
Patterson doesn't win.
It doesn't matter if Patterson wins or not. And the next time Don comes on this show and starts...
Are you guys there?
Yeah, don't ever say, hey, I got to go take a you-know-what and then throw the phone down.
Oh, really? Is the Mr. Gangland Expert telling me what to do? Well, get an earful of this. Uh-oh, looks like I didn't finish. I got to go back. How's that feel?
Put him on hold. Thank you. We'll be right back. Probably be back in time to hear that Don has had his brains beat in by Mr. Martin, because Don doesn't want to pay up on the bet because he made a chump out of this guy and he thinks the guy is just going to go, ha, ha, ha. Oh, that was really a good one. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, what? We're back. Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what's going on there.
Don?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, you know, nothing. Oh, hey, sorry.
Don?
Yeah.
You are okay? It's Phil. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah.
I told you that this was going to happen to you.
Well, we don't know what, Don. What happened?
Oh, you got saved.
Okay, did this guy beat you up?
Yeah.
Are you able to talk?
I don't know.
All right. I don't know whether is there anyone there that we can talk to?
Get a backline to the newsroom right away.
Yeah, I'm talking.
You get to the newsroom.
Hey, hold on, guys. Hey.
What'd you say?
Yeah,
Oh, hi. Hi. I'm the medical attendant.
Are you working at Channel 19?
Hello?
Are you working at Channel 19, sir?
Yeah.
This is Phil Hendry, and we are on the air on my radio show.
Okay.
And I need for you to tell me, is Mr. Berman all right?
Oh, he's doing fine. We're going to get him loaded into a medical evacuation unit here in a minute.
Tell him, please.
Can I ask you some questions for him?
All right.
Don, I want to ask you, were you just beaten up by Mr. Martin?
You might say that.
I might. Is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
Are you all right?
Okay. I've been better.
Did he beat you up because you didn't want to pay up?
That hits right on the nose.
And he expected you to pay up even though Floyd Patterson doesn't win the fight?
You got it, Sherlock.
Well, the Sherlock stuff, you know, I tried to warn you.
We know. Congratulations. You were right. I was wrong.
All right, I'll let you guys go.
I don't feel too good.
Yeah, I'll bet he doesn't. Can you tell me, Mr. Medical Attendant, what's wrong with him?
Well, it looks like he might have a fractured jaw. There's contusions. It might be the orbital bone right here. Looks like it might have been cracked, but he'll live. He just said, yeah, easy for you to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. All right, thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Well, I have to apologize. I thought for sure you didn't know what you were talking about.
I'm just telling you. You know, this guy, everything that Don is telling me, from the coffee machine to this guy's whole attitude, and nobody's that dumb. I think this guy suckered Don into that bet. Don thought, oh, this is a sure win. I'm going to tell this guy, you know, I know who, you know, I'll take Ali and he'll take Patterson. And then the guy's too dumb to know that the fight took place in 1965. I win. The guy's going to have to pay up. No, he doesn't. Not only did he not have to pay up, he made Don pay even though he lost the fight.
$5,000.
$5,000, yeah. And Don didn't pay up and he wound up getting beat up.
Why does he got it still work for that guy?
That's a very good point. Why doesn't he call the police?
I don't know, Margaret. Don't ask me. I don't know. I wouldn't want to know, and I don't really want to go any further with this discussion because I don't want anyone to think that I'm giving advice here about how to deal with a guy that I may, you know, I don't want to deal with. All right, so anyway, that was Don Berman, and that was Mr. Martin, and that was the Muhammad Ali fight that we were actually watching. We were giving that a gander here on a channel that I've got. It's just stuff, you know.
A lot of people, you're looking at these old fights, man.
I don't know. I just stumbled across this internet site. It's called Internet Archives, and as I mentioned to you guys the other night, it has all of these eminent domain, public domain, that's what I meant to say, public domain bits of media. Most of it is... It's video, it's audio, it's motion picture. It's stuff that has passed from private ownership or a private copyright into the public domain. And on this particular site, that's where you find all of this material. Now, a lot of this stuff is obviously, you know, I don't know how good they are on this site at finding, you know, at maintaining the stuff there is by rights should be there, meaning I don't know how good they are at maintaining the site as a site that has only public domain material. There may be some privately owned stuff there that the people at Internet Archives don't know anything about. But looking at most of this stuff that is actively downloaded, particularly Night of the Living Dead.
Now, I saw that. Now, that film was a famous horror film, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a famous horror. Everybody know about it. You know.
Well, that's my whole point. In other words, it's a very famous horror movie. So by now, the people that produced and would own the copyright on a film like that, by now they must know that it's being widely shared on this particular website because it's been there for God knows. I first discovered it about 4 years ago.
Wait, You discovered what, Night of the Living Dead?
4 years ago, yeah.
Well, it's been out since 1968. I don't understand.
No, he found it.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Phil. I'm not talking to you.
Margaret, what's the problem?
He's butting in again. Butting in again. Now then, when did Night of the Living Dead come out?
1968.
And you just found out about it 5 years ago. Wow.
No, Margaret, no. I knew about it in 1968.
Well, what are you talking about then?
I'm talking about the fact that I first saw it on this site in 2005 or 2006. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, all right. So, all right.
Yeah, see, you don't even know. And you're telling Mr. Henry all about it. Oh.
Don't be hitting people, Margaret.
I hit him with the paper. You said it was okay.
Anyway, that's how I found out about it there, okay? But the fact is, it's called, and that's what we were looking at, and so there you go. And the other thing we were looking at was that James Braddock fight, and that's where that's at. And when you look at those things in context, the modern fight, ultimate fighting championships, and the modern, far more popular forms of competitive fighting, when you look at these guys, it's like looking at the Marcus of Queensberry. It's like looking at, I don't know what it must have looked like back in the 19th century, and those guys were doing that whole thing with the, you know, the fists.
Yeah, he used to stand there and just like,
now, what was that called? Marcus of what? Marcus of Queensberry rules, I guess, but they had a very strange style, and they wore the long pants, you know.
It looked like they were wearing their underwear, not their underwear, their pajamas.
Yeah, they were like tights.
It looked like man tights, yeah, that they wore, and they had the boots. And a lot of the fights were outdoors. They didn't have indoor arenas in those days. You know, they had grandstands, and they had a ring, yeah. So watching these fights compared to the UFC bouts that you see, it's in another world, man. And it's all black and white, and it's all very, it's all very controlled. The UFC fighting and all of that ultimate fighting stuff is all about a new kind of control. It's a new kind of parameters that are set around that kind of fighting. There is more that is allowed, but there's also equally more control.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of those fights. They look like absolute, like two animals going at it.
Well, it is. It's far more violent. There's no question. But it also is within a contained set of rules. It's within a certain sphere of control. Okay? Once a fighter is down or once a fighter is beat, he's beat, the fight is over. There are certain things that you're not allowed to do in ultimate fighting. You can't bite anybody. You're not allowed to take out a weapon of any kind and stick it in a guy's face.
Can you use a weapon?
No, you can't use any weapons. You're using your fist.
Dude, that to me, that would be ultimate fighting championship, be able to use a weapon. That's why I think the stuff that they do on UFC, and I think it's good, but it's still got to go further.
It's still got to go further, huh? So what do you want them to do?
Well, we were talking the other day about how they should have weapons.
What kind of weapons? Knives? Do you want guys to die? Is that what you want?
I think that's the ultimate fight, yeah.
Well, you know what? It's probably headed that way.
Oh, my God. And here we thought that fighting would be, boxing would be outlawed. That's...
Well, no, boxing ain't outlawed. Not by a stretch. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Well, as we promised you, we have Mavis Leonard on the line with us. Ms. Leonard, of course, now she is Robert's aunt, and you got her on the phone, Robert?
Yeah, I'm not talking to her now, honey. Miss Emma gonna come. Yeah, she's on the phone.
All right, we're gonna talk with her about her Thanksgiving Day recipe because here it is Thanksgiving, and now I want to find out. I hope we're not keeping her awake. Is she gonna get up early tomorrow morning?
No, we'll find out. Hey, Audie, you gonna go to bed? You gonna go to bed? Bed? Are you going to bed? Bed? Sleep? No, I'm talking about you going to bed as in the bed that you sleep in. No.
What's the story?
I'm not asking you. I say, are you dead? You.
Let me talk to her, will you? Mavis?
You're a fool. I'll never be dead.
Mavis, it's Phil Hendry.
Is Mr. Henry on the phone? Okay. I don't want to talk to Robert no more. I love my nephew, but he's a stupid man. He is so stupid.
He was asking for me, and I'm sorry if it wasn't clear. What, are you going to bed soon?
I'm not going to go to bed until I have all of my preparations and my sous chef laid out. Robert's supposed to come home now because he's going to be my sous chef, you know?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't want a sous chef.
The sous chef, well, you tell him, Mavis.
I told the dumbass. Our sous chef somebody cuts up everything.
You want me to do that?
That's what I've been trying to tell you all day. God, man, you are... The things that I would love for you to know, if you had a brain that's comprehending things. I just don't understand.
Yeah, you gotta go home and be a chef.
I'm gonna be a sous chef.
Mavis, it's Margaret.
Yeah, hello, how are you, Margaret?
I'm fine, dear. A sous chef is the person that does the... They assist in the preparation.
Yeah, I'm gonna be home in about 45 minutes.
All right, I'm waiting for you, but right now I'm laying out all of the things that I'm gonna use in the preparation for my Beekman brothers. Now, you have to understand something, Phil. And I'll try to tell Robert this. This is my buttermilk cornbread stuffing with... This is my Beekman brother buttermilk cornbread stuffing with sausage.
The Beekman brothers?
Yeah, the Beekman brothers. I allow them to use their name on this because they think they invented it, but they didn't invent diddly squat. I'm the one that invented this. But I tell the Beekman brothers, I put their name Beekman brother on it.
Who are the Beekman brothers?
Beekman brothers, it's a brand of stuffing, I think, isn't it?
I don't know who they are, and I don't care. I, as far as I'm concerned, they could die tomorrow. It wouldn't make any difference to me. I don't know who they are, what they are. I don't even know why they're alive. But I'll tell you this right now. This is my cornbread stuffing, but they're called the Beekman brothers.
So you're calling it the Beekman Brothers cornbread stuffing with sausage?
No, I'm not. I'm calling it the Beekman Brothers buttermilk cornbread stuffing with sausage.
The Beekman Brothers cornbread buttermilk stuffing with sausage. All right.
Right. So you got the name, or you want me to say it again? And I tell you, the Beekman Brothers can rot in hell for all they've ever done for me. And
all right, let's get off the Beekman brothers, okay?
Well, you asked me who the Beekman brothers was.
I don't know who the Beekman brothers are.
The Beekman brothers are a brand name of stuffing.
Yeah, that's what the Beekman brothers, I think, are a brand name of stuffing.
I don't give a damn. How many times I got to tell you, I don't give a sweet damn that the Beekman brothers are what you call a Beekman brother
All right, never mind about the Beekman brothers. So let's have the recipe.
All right, just so you know, the Beekman brothers can rot in hell.
All right, I get it about the Beekman brothers.
I mean, we already know about the Beekman brothers. Why do you keep beating on the Beekman brothers?
The only person around here beating on anything is you. And I'm sorry to have put it that way, Mr. Henry.
All right, okay. So anyway, your buttermilk cornbread stuffing with sausage.
All right, so here's what I need. I need for Robert to stop off at the store and get me an extra virgin olive oil. I need 3/4 teaspoon of that. And then I'll need a large onion.
You want... I'm not supposed to stop off at the store and get all this?
No, fool, I just want you to stop off at the store and get me the... I want you to stop off at the store and get the virgin olive oil is all I need.
So you get the virgin olive oil.
All right.
Now, the next thing I need is 3 ounces of pecan. I'm going to get that. And a 1/2 cup of chopped fresh parsley. And then I get the zest of 1 lemon, about 1 tablespoon. Okay?
What's the zest of 1 lemon?
Well, that's the essence of a lemon. Just you get a lemon and get a zest. A zest for life? You heard about a zest for life, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing that gives a lemon the desire to keep on going, even when you know, when you're a lemon and you know someone's going to cut you up and make you into a greeter, or lemonade, you know.
Yeah. The zest of a lemon.
Well, I understand that, yeah.
Well, I sure as hell don't understand that.
It's the thing that gives a lemon a reason to live. What gives you zest?
The thing that gives a lemon a reason to live? A lemon doesn't have any reason to live.
Well, I know that, and you know that, but the lemon don't know that.
Yeah, I'm talking zest of lemon.
So I need about a zest of one lemon.
Well, I've never heard of the zest of anything.
Yeah, you've heard about zest soap. I know you, I seen that in the bathroom.
All right, I got zest soap. I'm talking about zest as in a real thing, and I never heard about a lemon needing a reason to live.
Well, if anything needs a reason to live, my God.
Yeah, that's very good, Margaret. I agree. If you think about it, a lemon ought to get its stuff together because, I don't know, but if I was a lemon, I'd try to get my act together in order for me to explain to anybody that wanted to make me into greeter why I want to keep on living.
Okay. All right, fine.
Okay, you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now, I know you're just humoring me.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. You're right. He's humoring you, Mavis, because he thinks you're nuts.
Isn't that right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah. Will you just move on, please? We don't have a lot of time here.
Yes, sir. I want 5 cups of cube-day-old super moist cornbread, okay, cut in a 1-inch chunk. I don't want it fresh. I don't want it 2-day-old. I got to have it a day old, and I got to have it now. And
well, shouldn't that be something you made?
As a matter of fact, I did make it, so I got some day-old right here. But I'm just saying that I've got to have that. And thank God I do have it. But I need it, and I want it, and I got to have it. Then I have 1 cup of low-sodium chicken broth, and I have 2 tablespoons of low-sodium chicken broth, 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted. I have some salt and freshly ground pepper. And that's all of my ingredients for my buttermilk cornbread with sausage stuffing from the Beaker Brothers.
And the Beaker Brothers, by the way, you're only putting their name on this recipe as a way of getting them off your back about how they own it and you don't.
That is exactly right, because I own this recipe. I come up with it, and the Beaker Brothers can go pound sand. And whatever you do, if you're a Beaker Brother, I'm sure it's real weird. I'd get back to it if I was you, because I'm Mavis Leonard, and you ain't going to tell me that I can't make my buttermilk sausage with cornbread, buttermilk cornbread with or Beaker Brothers zesty lemon. I don't.
It's called a, what is it called?
It's called a buttermilk cornbread with sausage stuffing. No.
It's called a Beaker Brother.
Yeah, Beaker Brother buttermilk cornbread with sausage.
Okay, it sounds very good, and I don't really care what it's called. I will only get yours, Mavis, okay?
That's exactly, there you go, bingo. Give that man a cigar. That's the only person you're going to get this from. And I'm going to invite you personally to come over to the house tomorrow for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's very kind of you, dear. Thank you. I'm going to stop by. I am.
You want to make the rounds?
Yeah, well, I'd like to,
I don't know about you. Are you going to have that husband that doesn't know who a she and a he?
I'm afraid Frank is with me, yes.
Well, that's all right. You come by.
Because we'll be making the rounds. We're going to a lot of different people's houses tomorrow. We are having our Thanksgiving dinner, but then Jason J. Delmonico is going to have some of his buddies over for their little video gaming, and that's when Frank and I make the rounds.
So you're going to come down here by what time?
What's good, darling?
I'd say about 6 or 7 o'clock before Robert tears ass in and everything and eat it all, you know.
All right, it'll be about 6 or 7 then.
How about you, Mr. Henry?
Whenever you'd like me down there.
Well, the earlier the better, because you know Robert, he's going to tear ass into everything that I, and the Beaker Brothers, if I seen hiding a hair.
The Beaker Brothers are not going to come to your house.
Well, if I see them, I'm going to leave them where I find them.
What time should I be there?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I said about 3 o'clock would be good. That put a nice big space between you and that Frank Gray who don't know who a woman is or a man or any of that.
I've tried. We're working with Frank, and I'm sorry about that, Mavis.
You know what? Last year he said, call me he this and he that, and he sure make a good dinner. I almost took that personal.
All right, so we've got the basic recipes, and I don't have the basic recipe there. I don't think we have time to get into the directions, but I'm sure people can. You don't want to do that, do you?
I don't want to do what?
You don't want to give people directions on how to make it. That's going to kind of blow the secret of the great Mavis Leonard slash Beaker Brothers.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Phil. I don't want to have to mess somebody up because they stole my Beaker Brother buttermilk cornbread sausage stuff. I don't want to have to mess nobody up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I'll let it lay for now, you know.
All right, darling. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Robert, don't forget to get that virgin.
What virgin?
The virgin you got to get.
Virgin olive oil.
Yeah, that's virgin olive oil. I forgot.
Yeah, I'll get that on the store. I'll get that in a home.
Get it at a store. You don't get it at the house. I want you to bring it to the house.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Wow, that's...
You know, that recipe sounds delicious. It really does.
It does, actually. There's a lot of stuff there. Pecans and, you know, stuffing now is a lot of stuff. People do anything they want with it.
Yeah, pretty much people will put anything they want in a turkey, you know.
Well, not any. I mean, I guess you could, but it ain't all going to taste good.
You put anything you want. You put what about ice cream?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man.
Ice cream.
That makes a lot of sense. It's going to melt, man.
Of course it's going to melt, but it's going to imbue the turkey with the flavorings.
You mean it's going to marinate the turkey?
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Stuff it with ice cream. I guess you could do it after the fact, but it's still going to melt. All right, we'll be back here with our final thoughts here on this whatever it is. Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving here, 2012, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, a Phil TV program note for those of you who are Backstage Pass members. Tomorrow, we begin at 1 o'clock with a couple of archived Milwaukee Lion football games. That'll be 1 o'clock Pacific. And that will be followed by three classic hours of the Phil Hendry Show from our archives. And I think that's, we got anything else, Bub? I called you Bub, and you're Bud, and you're Bob. You're Robert.
No, I prefer Robin, not Bob.
No, I know that, but I said Bub because somehow...
Well, that was like yesterday when Vernon Dozier couldn't say basketball or football, and it came out in a very offensive... Have you spoken to him about that?
No, I haven't, Margaret. The man was nervous.
Yeah, it came out blue ball.
I know he said blue ball. He meant to say... He couldn't say basketball and football. He got nervous, and it came out blue ball, and you guys are making a big deal out of it.
Who is this very effeminate man on the Stairmaster?
I don't know. It's an exercise guy. Can we stick to the same one point, please?
Well, I don't like the hair coming out of the back of his baseball cap. God, he looks like a woman.
Never mind. So, what was I saying here? I forget. Oh, tomorrow. So, what else, Bud?
Yeah, we're going to have the Lion game, and then we're going to have the 3 hours of the classic Phil Hendry. And then we're gonna have two classic Lions of a Jack I Gagner.
Oh, that's it. I forgot. So between the Lions games, we will have a couple of classic hours of Jack I Gagner's Lions. So it'll be a football Thanksgiving on Phil TV with the Milwaukee Lions. And then wrapping up the evening with three classic hours of the Phil Hendry Show archive. So if you are a BSP, join us tomorrow, 1 o'clock. You can have it in the background if you want. You can pipe it over your, you know, stereo system or your PA or whatever you got. Imagine somebody having a PA.
What is a PA?
Like a public address system. Do you have that at your house?
I don't know. You know, if you've got a PA, why would anybody have a PA? I guess if you've got a big enough yard. So if the weather's nice and you're out in your backyard and it's big enough that you need a public address system, then you can... You can pump that out into your backyard tomorrow by way of Phil TV. And if you don't have a backstage pass, please join us at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, and get a BSP right quick, y'all. We right now have afford on-demand downloads and on-demand streaming of the Phil Hendry archives for all Apple users, as well as people using droids and desktops. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, be advised you can listen to our material on demand. That is to download or to stream when it's not live. You can listen to it on demand on your iPhone. You can listen to it on your iPad as well. And we will soon be streaming live for iPad and iPhone users, Phil TV, when we do our show at night. So that's kind of a cool thing. I can only hope. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, we will. Also, our podcast will continue throughout the Thanksgiving weekend, so be sure to join us at philhenryshow.com and click on the podcast banner. You're going to see it to the left, and it'll say our new podcast. Click on that. Go to philhenryradio.com, and that'll send you on to our podcast. Right now, our podcast is being downloaded at a record clip, man. I don't think we've ever had this much popularity for anything we've done, and it's a podcast, you know?
Well, you are about to hit 200,000 downloads.
We're about to make a milestone of 200,000 downloads, and I'll tell you, you know, we are, the sky's the limit with that. So we're very excited about that. We're very excited about our one-man show. We're going to be having a rehearsal on Friday, and be advised that we're going to, at some point, have a listeners, a backstage pass only listener show. So we'll have a presentation of our one-man show for just our backstage pass members, you know, a select group of people. And then we are, again, as I said, scheduled to roll out our one-man show in February. It is going to be a live presentation, and it's basically taking the Phil Hendry Show, which is 22 years old, from the very first time that we did our radio show with all of our guests. Margaret, you were our first way back when we did the show locally in Ventura, California, and now we're in Ventura, California, doing it nationally. And Bud, you joined us back then.
Yeah, that's when I wrecked my bike.
That's right. We hired Bud right after that.
I remember you then, Bud, yes.
Yeah, we hired Bud right after he wrecked his bike and put his head through the oak tree up there in Ojai. That's when we brought you on board for the show. So it's been many, many years. And through it all, we've developed so many different people that have become members of the Phil Hendry Show family, different guests, different characters. And it's all pointed toward this spring, when what we have done, and it almost seems like I should have known, we've taken this entire presentation that we've created for radio, and we're going to be taking it to where it probably should have been all along, and that is a live theatrical stage presentation. There's a lot of people that love our radio show, don't get me wrong. But the fact of the matter is, the radio show, as good as it's been, and it's been as good, if not better, than anything anybody's ever done on the radio world itself, the industry itself, has been lost when it came to the Phil Hendry Show. But when it comes to what we're going to do this spring, I feel that this is the logical culmination.
So you, what you're basically saying, Phil, is you reject out of hand the radio world for flubbing the Phil Hendry opportunity. Is that what you're saying?
That's a very good way of putting it, yeah.
For flubbing the Phil Hendry. So you made a lot of money in your life.
I made a lot of money. I'm not complaining, okay? Although with, well, never mind. But, yes, I've made a lot of money, and so, no, I'm not complaining, but I'm saying the money that I've made in radio will be, it'll be about the size of a pea compared to the enormous money that we're about to make on stage with the live presentation of our Phil Hendry brand, if you will.
So you are predicting, well, how much money do you think you'll make?
We'll be in the millions.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
You really have got a pair on you, don't you?
What's wrong with that?
Well, all you're going to do is piss off people.
I think we're going to make millions. Millions. Yes. In the live venues? No, if you don't believe me, check out... Well, never mind. But that's my prediction.
You really got a pair...
The world famous... Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, folks. And I do mean happy Thanksgiving. And in the background here on Phil TV, you see two women beating the hell out of each other in ultimate in a UFC championship bout. That's what Thanksgiving is to me. I am thankful that I'm able to see in this great country of ours two pretty good-looking women pounding hell out of each other wearing really tight shorts. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by myself along with Dan Northcraft. And, of course... we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So make sure you join us with your backstage pass. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.